This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
What's up, everybody? It's Nate Bargatze, the Nateland Podcast. And if you are watching this video, Aaron is dead. I thought of that joke a while ago. This is an episode that we are recording just as kind of a backup episode. Honestly, in case Aaron dies or Brian dies or COVID or other reasons, maybe you guys get sick. I assume I'll always be here, healthy as a horse.
But if you die, the podcast stops. We don't keep going.
No, this air episode gets aired over and over again.
Yeah.
And it never gets past this episode. And it's me. Maybe we're imposed me. And so then whatever y'all are talking about, I'm always talking about just whatever's on this episode.
Okay.
Like a hologram. So we recorded this episode. You notice there's no comments at the top of it because we had none. And we don't know when this episode will come out, but it will be in there for in case there's a filler. I guess then we put something in, you know, get to the bottom of it. Aaron Weber, Brian Bates, both are local comedians, stand-up comedians.
That's so mean.
I know. I didn't mean to be like that. I was kind of thinking of a funny joke, but then I just, that is very funny to say.
Very local.
Local comics. You can see them all over Nashville, sometimes other counties. And always just a drive away from the distance. Just a hot. Yeah. So, all right. So, this episode, we're going to start with the joke that we pulled to kind of get us started, to push us in the right direction, is my story from the Cape Fear Cemeterium. It was on Netflix and the stand-ups. So here it is. They have a thing there called Cape Fear Cemeterium, and it's just a guy's house, and he has a bunch of snakes, lizards, and a crocodile just in his house. He has the world record for being bitten by a viper snake. It's 7 times. Which is like, it's a record no one is trying to get. It's not, it's so many times. He was bitten 3 times and then 4 more times after that. That's how many times he was bitten. 3 is a ton and then 4 more after is just too many. But I was like, I gotta go see this. This is gonna be amazing. So I go, I walk over, I walk in. Right when you walk in, he's got a lobby set up. And in the lobby, he has 2 parrots and then a bunch of anti-government posters. That's like real. He just has those things. It's like 2 parrots and like a lot of stuff on chemtrails. You know, he's basically just like, this is what I would love to talk to you about. And you're like, I just want to see some snakes, man. He's like, all right, but maybe later can I corner you and talk to you about it? And you're like, I don't know, let's see how the snakes go. So I went and I paid. It was $9. Obviously cash only in a place like that. And so I give him my $9. I go up. First snake I see is a Gaboon viper. It's a crazy venomous snake. And there's a story written out about how venomous it is. And the story was that these 2 kids broke into the Washington National Zoo in the early 1980s to steal a Gaboon viper for whatever reason. So they get it. They put it in a trash bag. When they're walking out, they have the trash bag over their shoulder as if they forgot what they just did. The snake bites through the trash bag because it's a 1980s trash. It's not like a Glad one now. You know, this was like when trash bags were not doing good. So it bit the kid. The kid went into a coma for 4 days, and then it was like, that's all we know. We don't know what happened. And you're like, that's the whole reason I'm even reading this, to see what... Did he die? Is he stronger? Are you him? Like, what's the rest of the story? So if you ever go, and you should go, if you ever go, 3 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, he feeds these things. So I like looked at my watch. It was like 3 p.m. I was like, all right, we'll go watch these things eat. So the first snake they go to feed, it's a black mamba. It's another crazy venomous snake that should not be in America outside of a zoo, especially not at a guy's house that hates America. So we're like, all right, we got to go see this. So we get down there. He puts a chicken wired fence around him. So if a snake gets out, he'll just get out of that fence pretty quick. The fence has holes in it that I would describe as a little bit bigger than a black mamba. And I mean, we're leaning on it. We're getting kids up against it. We're like, no, you get up here. Push their kids' faces are against it. So we all stand around. He's a bucket of like dead mice. He like grabs a mouse. He like throws it in there. He eats it. Like we all cheer and then we move on. Next one we go to is 12-foot anaconda. This snake is huge. He props open like the glass cage with a 2x4. That's how big it is. Props it up. No chicken wire fence. It's non-venomous. Worst case scenario, we're all going to wrestle this snake. So we're all standing there around. He gets his bucket back out, but this time it's got dead rabbits in it. And they're the biggest rabbits I've ever seen in my... I would have paid $9 to see what that rabbit's life was like, you know, just to see that rabbit drive up that day. He gets these giant, like, two-handed tongs that they look like they're for this. So he grabs a rabbit. He kind of steps back. He's going to make the snake come out and get it like he's hunting. So it's the rabbit, it's him, children, and then us. I mean, no, he's the only employee there. So we stand there. Luckily, the snake comes out. He gets the rabbit. He's like constricts it. It falls to the ground. He lifts it. He puts it back in. He goes, well, Easter Bunny's dead. Makes that joke for the kids. Yeah. And we waited for him to say he was joking. He did not. Yeah, he stared at the kids harder, almost to assure it. That's what it is. Then he goes, all right, you have permission to touch the snake. No one's asking. We're walking away. No one was like, I bet this is when we can pet him. They're leaving. And he makes the kids pet him. And they most don't want to touch the snake. Most are petting the rabbit he was eating. It was like the 30s. There's no rules in this place. It's like riding a ski lift. Like, you ever been on a ski lift? And like halfway up, you're like, hey, my bar didn't lock. Should it have locked? I don't do this ever. So the last one is the crocodile. We go to the crocodile. It's a 10-foot crocodile. This crocodile has been staring out at his cage at everybody. Like, he's trying to remember you for supporting this guy. Like he's like, I'll find you one day. I mean, if he was in here right now with a hat on, I wouldn't be surprised. That's how nervous I am when I go out. So we all stand around. Crocodile's there. He unlocks the door. Door's unlocked. He gets his rabbit bucket. And he grabs a rabbit, and he's going to just open the door and, like, throw it in there and eat it. And watch. He grabs the rabbit. He gets it right here. The crocodile sees the rabbit and comes forward, hitting the door, which is unlocked and, we learn, also broken. Hits the door. The crocodile's momentum, like, just takes him out into the carpet, like they were staying with us. The kids. There's a 10-foot crocodile just on the floor. So everybody just starts losing it. It's like a Godzilla movie. People are just running. Everybody's crying. People are crying real hard. Like, just bawling. Everybody's dead behind you. You just assume it. You don't even look. Some lady was like, my husband. I was like, your husband's gone, lady. He's gone. We shouldn't be here. There's so many signs that say we shouldn't be here. And we just leave. Because the cobra was next. She's like, I don't know if the cobra's in a cage. Who knows where this cobra's at? He might have been watching this with us. This is a real story. And here's my proof. I have proof to this story. Is there's a TripAdvisor review from that day. It's not my review. I'm not a review guy. But someone reviewed it. And you can look at it. Go to TripAdvisor. Type in Wilmington, North Carolina, Cape Fear Serpentarium. When you get there, go to the reviews. They have 4 stars to 1 stars. If you want to see what I'm talking about, I would start at the 1 stars. They're all pretty fun to read, though. You know, 4 stars love it. They think the place is great. 3 and 2 stars, they're usually pretty hung up on the propaganda in the lobby. They can't get past that. And then just go to the 1 star that says, crocodile got out of the cage. It's the best 1-star review I've ever heard in my life. Like, just the most, oh, did that poster hurt your feelings? Did a crocodile get out when you were there? Because he got out with us, and we didn't think he should have been out with us. So 1 star. All right, there it is. I tell you what, I look back at that, and I look like I was storing up for the winter. I mean, my face and my stomach sticks out so far. I mean, my face, it looks like I'm like a healthy bear going into hibernation. Like, you go, I'm good. You good for the winter, Nate? I'm good. I'm good. No, I'll be fine. I'm fine. I feel real. I had a great summer. I feel like I had a great summer. Much different now, dude. I mean, I don't want to go back.
Did you
feel
that
way? My stomach
way?
Still sticks out. But I mean, even that we watched the other ones in the past of these, we were like tonight, I had a lot of tonight shows, man. You just see these videos. My stomach just, it sticks out farther than you think. You know? Button down shirts are brutal.
Yeah.
And
but what's the alternative? Can't tuck anything in.
And let me tell you, I love tucking stuff in.
Really?
I would tuck everything in if I could.
Why?
I'm a big fan. I think it looks nice. I like seeing the belt. I like a belt. Okay. I tuck everything in. I would love to tuck everything. I love golfing when you tuck your shirt in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't like some loose. I tucked in one thing on a Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore a sports jacket and I got a tucked in shirt. And I would say I look like a guy that told you I had a boat and you were like, oh, yeah, I'll come see it. And I didn't expect you to say you'd want to see it. And then I walk you down to the dock going, it's right over. You sure you want to go keep going? And then you're like, yeah, why not? You know, and I don't have a boat. But
yeah,
I tucked my shirt in there. But yeah, I would tuck in. No, I would love. I mean, honestly, I would. That opens my shirt wearing abilities up.
What does?
Tucking a shirt in. To me.
If you can tuck in,
the platform. I mean, there's a lot more stuff open to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel you're as like when you drape. I think untucked, it gets very drapey, and then it like shows. You know, it just kind of shows everything.
Sometimes you gotta drape, dude.
I know, but sometimes you tuck in and you feel a little bunched, and you feel just a little more, a little more compact, protected.
Yeah,
I would always try to find. I mean, that's why I wore jackets on a lot of stuff. I wear jackets now. I think jackets look good though on stage. I would love a suit.
You would be a suit guy?
I would. I like a uniform.
Yeah.
And I like not thinking. I try to get everything down to not thinking. So I want to, when I go on the road, I would want everything to be put, you know, everything, like I don't have to worry about it. And I would love to wear a suit, especially start doing theaters and just feels like a suit. I don't think maybe where I'm at now doesn't feel like these theaters, but if I get to some, you perform at TPAC more and these 3,000 seat places, that fits for a suit very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people dress up to those shows and people dress up to the shows now. Some of those theaters we play, they're super older. And
I remember you telling me this on the road because what was that documentary about Jay-Z?
Oh, Dr. Dre?
Yeah.
Wearing the same clothes.
Dr. Dre, yeah. You said Dr. Dre wears the same clothes. I want to get to that.
That's why he wears the black on black white sneakers. Mm-hmm. Never spends any brain power on what he's going to wear. And not that I spend a ton. I mean, I wear golf stuff every day. But on shows, I have somewhat a uniform. I wear the same shoes, maybe one to two different pairs of jeans, a jacket, and then the shirt, a t-shirt underneath it. Occasionally, I could maybe mix the jacket up. You do get tired of it.
Yeah.
You feel like this show feels like, you know, I wear a hoodie on it. You're like, this town feels like I could wear a hoodie. This show feels like I wear it. It kind of just fits.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, what I've wore on specials, I've liked. I like sneakers. I could see wearing, you know, but you start tucking stuff in, you just look a little older. And that's the only thing. Like Mulaney pulls it off, but it just fits with what he does.
Yes.
But what we wear as comics is a big deal. I think comics can dress too far down. But I think you gotta either look cool. You want to be cool looking or you want, you know, I'm in the phase now. You kind of want to be cool looking, like, you know, but you get like, I turned 50. Hello, suit is coming. I also think suit never matched my act.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like, Mulaney, it feels like it fits what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and my act is, I'm dumb.
But somebody commented, Nate, what happened to you? You used to dress like a bum, and now you dress so stylish. And they wanted to know the story behind it.
Well, now it's you just start doing more things.
Yeah.
And you know, before when you're first starting, you're doing stuff that you're wearing a hoodie on stage, like then hoodies, everybody wears a hoodie now, and I still wear a hoodie, you know, especially when I go to Zany's. here in Nashville, like you just wear a hoodie, do some clubs, just because you feel that now you, because now I'm doing theater. So you're now looking at like, well, when I go to these comedy clubs, it's, I'm trying to do a good show, but it's like you're, it's the workout aspect. So you're not going to pop up into a comedy club wearing just to the nines. But when you go to a theater and people are spending all this money and they're in the, they're buying popcorn, drinks, and it's a thing that you're like, well, you do need to come out and look good and look cool. And I think that aspect, but I don't think it's got to kind of match your act.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, like, you know, maybe I could be a suit guy with no tie. Maybe I could be, I just like the idea of not thinking about it. You got to somewhat choose a style. And I've been fortunate to have a couple stylists with things like my Netflix special. You get a stylist. When I shot the pilot, we got a stylist. And so she, I mean, you just sit and I wear what they have. I took it and I get in trouble for that. They said, I just left. And then it was like, well, the pilot will go. Ooh. And here we are.
You took the clothes from the pilot?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have the shoes on. I wore these shoes in the pilot. These red shoes. If anybody, oh man, camera crew is like, oh my God, I got to move around.
Let's get a close up of those.
Let them see it. You got it. We got it. I wore those in the pilot. The that no one will ever see because they own it. I don't know how you get it back. It was like super, you couldn't show it really to anybody. Because Sony, it wasn't with Sony, but like with that Sony hack happened, that just like kind of made everything a lot tighter. Wow.
Yeah, I see sometimes pilots get, I mean, I've seen pilots of shows that never got picked up. Do you think there's one day that?
I mean, maybe one day. I mean, I'd ask and, you know, it's like they own, it's 20th Century Fox and so they own it. And then
if you owned it, would you put it out?
Oh, yeah. I would love to show it.
Yeah.
But, you know. So, all right. All right. Anyway, so the Cape Fear story got us into thinking about animals and got us into thinking, you know, one thing, like, that was a unique place to go to. That was going to the Cape Fear place. I always get asked, people always ask me, do you ever go to a reptile place? I went to one in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and it was, I just were walking down. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania was awesome, but it felt, I swear every time you passed a turn, there was like an alley and it looked like a guy that was like looking at you down the alley. Like you would just go past it and it just looked like, yo, let's get on out of here. For some reason it was like timing out that there was always someone in an alley and you're like, that's not going to be good. So I were walking down the street and who was with me? Graham, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, Graham K, very funny comic. He had an album come out recently, Graham K from Canada. And so we're walking down and we see, all I see is a written sign that says reptiles in the, it's printed on just like, you know, they wrote reptiles on paper and put it on the wall. And so we're like, I'm like, this is my thing, dude. I'm like, you know, drive-in diners of reptile places. I'm the guy.
Yeah.
So I go in and it's in the bottom of a business. Like it's the bottom of an office building, older building. And then just all these reptiles, turtles. He had a two-headed turtle in there for sale. Could buy a two-headed turtle. I mean, very loose. Like it felt like a guy.
A two-headed turtle?
Yep. Yep. Two-headed turtle for sale. You could have
how
it.
Much?
Like I had it. I don't remember.
I suppose you didn't buy it.
How much? Yeah. How much would you? I mean, what's a
double,
good price?
Probably triple. And you're like, but there's only two heads. And he goes, you're paying for the experience of the two heads. And then, so there was all these like, you know, snakes and he had some alligators and he had all this crazy stuff. And it felt like he was a guy that knew at any point someone that owned the building is going to like, wait, what are you doing down here? Like he's tricked them into doing this.
Yeah.
The craziest part, he had a gun in his back pocket and not his back pocket, but he had it like the way gangsters put it in a movie, how they put it on their belt loop.
Oh, wow.
It was loose. Yeah. Not like if you see someone with a gun in a holster, you're like, that guy, he carries a gun. Mm-hmm. He's licensed. I'm sure it's real. Mm-hmm. When you see him bent over and it's in the holster and it's kind of out a little bit, so it's just in his back pocket, I'm not his back pocket, but his like his like. I mean, you can't tuck a shirt in. Speaking of that, if you have a gun, you got to be an untucked guy,
right?
You don't even. Someone says, "What do you tuck or untuck?" You're like, "I used to tuck, but started carrying, started packing heat, and that changed that." But he had that gun, and then he was like, "Ah, oh, hey, man!" And then we, you know, we were gonna film like some stuff in there, and it was like, "It's just not worth it."
Yeah.
And we tried to go back to do stuff. We tried to call him to see if we could, but I mean, a guy that's willy nilly with a gun like that in the waistband, usually people that have license for that, I don't think they carry it as loosely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in a holster. It's in, you know, you see it's on the belt clip on the side. Tuck the shirt in because you want everybody to know.
Yeah.
This guy, untucked shirt, back pocket.
This guy doesn't sound very by the book to begin with, right? I mean, it's probably an illegal operation to begin with.
I'd imagine they're letting it happen, but they could also not care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you, what's the best zoo you guys, have y'all been to?
I think for me, it was when I was with you in Orlando when we went to Wild Florida. They were fans of yours. And
yeah, Wild Florida. Awesome, awesome people, man.
Yeah.
Great. The whole family run.
Yeah.
It's like airboats. And they have a bunch of alligators. You can go see them on the Everglades and stuff like that. Wild Florida. I got the alligator that you see is from there.
Yeah. We took it out, airboats out, saw alligators. And then they brought us back and we got to feed an alligator.
Mm-hmm.
We both got to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very cool. It's one of the, you know, it's obviously the perks of doing stand up. And then they were very nice and super, super nice family. And they run a really good thing down there. We should have found out they're mixing all that Tiger King stuff because they were down there in that system.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to anything?
I've been to some sad zoos. I haven't been to any really good ones.
What's a sad one?
Yeah.
I went to one in Arkansas that was just, there's just trash and a lot of trash.
Yeah.
And the saddest part was there's like a penguin exhibit, but it's Arkansas in the summer. So it was just these penguins all huddled up standing in front of a fan in this exhibit.
Yeah.
It was just, I was like, why are they here?
How do you say it?
Yeah. What was the exhibit?
It was a penguin.
Yeah. It was different. Penguin.
That's how
I say penguin.
I say penguin.
Penguin?
Penguin. Maybe that's, I mean, that
look,
sounds
you
like,
be
you
right.
Sound like the guy that would run that. Penguin exhibit. Hey, what do you got going on here?
Penguin.
I'm just penguin. I got a couple penguins, and put a couple penguins downtown. But the other night, I bought a couple penguins.
I've never penguin.
You would seem penguin. Like a guy that someone that says like that sells penguins to zoos that are kind of under the radar.
How are you supposed to say it?
Penguin.
Penguin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
it's
I say.
It's an E. P-E-N-G-U-I-N.
Penguin.
You're saying it like an A.
You're saying it like an I.
But I and E can sound the same. Yours should be P-A-N-G.
I mean, you wanna look, can you look this up? Can you look up the pronunciation? I mean, this might be, nobody's interested in this, but now I feel.
Look, you may be right.
I don't think so.
March of the Penguins.
I mean, I would like to say if two people in this room.
How does Morgan Freeman say it in March of the Penguins? Penguin books.
Penguin.
Oh, here we go.
Penguin. Penguin, hey, you got some, what are you selling? I got a couple of penguins in the back of the truck. They're in the ice box. That's how.
They're
in the ice box.
I thought usually Wikipedia shows you like the pronunciation.
Yeah, you could do, if you just type in penguin pronunciation on Google, you should be able to,
just hear someone say penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, you got to go.
I want to hear somebody I want to hear the legit.
One of those said penguin prostitution.
Did
they not say that?
Let's see.
It did. All right.
Penguin. There it is.
Say it.
Well, yeah. Well, click that button right to the right of it. Let's hear it. No, the
that's to the right.
No. Right, oh, directly to the right of.
I don't.
Click it.
Penguin.
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 Penguin. Penguin. Hey.
We're both
hearing it just like I said it.
No.
Penguin.
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 Penguin. Slow it down.
Slow it.
Yeah, there you go.
Penguin.
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 There you go.
Penguin.
I think we're both thinking we're saying that right.
All right.
And this is like a Yanni Laurel type thing.
Yeah, so you're hearing peng?
I'm hearing penguin.
Because I'm hearing penguin.
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 That's, hey. How you doing? What do you got back there? Got a couple penguins. One of them's all white. Is it? I never seen one.
All white.
It's all white. All
white.
One's all white. Doesn't have like that tuxedo jacket on. No, it doesn't have it.
I did a
podcast. How'd you get that one? He goes, where is it at? It's in the front with me. It rode up with me in the front. It doesn't get too cold. It doesn't need. It's 95 degrees in Arkansas right now.
Yeah.
Got a couple. How much do they think a couple penguins? How much do they go for? $50. And he goes, I mean, a guy like that wouldn't know how to set. Like, he wouldn't know that he can make money off of it. He would go, how much you want for the $50? Get on that. You crazy. $50 for a penguin. A couple penguins. One of them's not even the right color. he said, I go, $25.
Yeah. Anyway.
Penguin.
I want some penguins. And then they sell, that's a restaurant. You go, I'll take two penguins, two penguin burgers. Go type in, when you were typing that stuff in,
yeah.
X out of the, allow, yeah.
Here.
Go penguin P. Now P. I swear, PR.
Yeah, penguin prostitution. What
is
that?
I don't know what this, we're not sure what this is. Oh, it's a thing.
Penguin prostitution.
Oh, they want rocks more than sex.
Do penguins have? Oh, I wish I'd be talking.
Oh, gosh.
This is inappropriate.
Yeah,
this is.
What did you?
This podcast is off the rails already.
I mean, what happened?
I mean, that's the best thing you could hope. What did you think was going to be the guy in Wilkes-Barre down the alley?
I thought it could be something that has nothing to do with penguins. I honestly thought it would be like, that's what they call some other thing. and then penguins are nothing.
It's penguin.
But it's straight up penguin. We got penguin problems. How much you want to? I love a guy selling that. Got a couple of penguins in the back. One's all black. It doesn't have any white. Feet are blue. Is it? Let me see. Is you kidding me right now? I'm trying to start my own zoo, and I'd love some penguins is the thing that I think set us over the top. I mean, I think that's what the guy says, that wants to, because if I get a couple of penguins, I think we'll be just right. I charge $8 to get in that place. Get a couple of penguins.
I love that. The official pronunciation is how I was saying it. It was, you know, just penguins. Let that for the record.
All right. So that's your worst?
Yeah, I don't even remember. Yeah, that was it. The Arkansas one.
It's a place that had a penguin exhibit.
It's just trash. It's sad. I mean, I don't know. It's sad to see trash.
The trash wasn't in the cages.
Oh, yeah.
People
yeah.
like threw it in there.
I don't know. I didn't see anybody throw it in there when I was there, but it was like the monkey exhibits. They were all like holding trash and like.
But how did it get in there?
Because you go through this like a bridge, so you're kind of over it, yeah. So you could easily throw stuff in there, and there's trash everywhere. I watched this gorilla chew this cardboard box for like an hour. It was so sad.
Is the gorilla having a pretty good time?
Well, I was just watching it. I was like looking around, like, is anybody gonna stop? You think
that's
this?
Like watching the gorilla? He doesn't have cable. You know, and like it's like in prison where you're like, we don't get all the channels, and you're like, I'll just watch this guy hit a watch PBS for 5. He's like, I mean, it's at least TV, you know. That's what the gorilla would say. He's like, yeah, dude, it's not ideal, but
it's got bamboo.
Well, I thought I was seeing something like this is crazy. Yeah. I've never seen an animal just like eating trash, and I looked around. I didn't see an employee the whole time I was there. I was like, this is wild.
That's anyway. A place that lets the animals go.
They let like a gorilla go?
That's how when you get done with that problem.
Yeah.
Of going, you're in over your head. You bought some penguins early and you thought that's the thing that's going to send you over in Arkansas. No one, I mean, yeah, we liked the penguin exhibit, but it wasn't unreal. And then you let all the zoo animals go.
Yeah.
They just opened the cages and Arkansas is going to be running with all kinds of stuff, man.
Yeah.
And someone's going to be fishing and go, I swear to you, I saw a penguin today. And that's what's going to happen. And some guy is going to go, in Arkansas. You saw, I don't know, it's a different accent, but is that where you saw? You saw.
What was that?
You saw a penguin.
That was like a chimney sweep from London.
You saw in Arkansas. You tell me, in the Arkansas River, you saw a penguin.
What is that accent?
I don't know. It's a fun one.
In
the Arkansas River. You tell me you're on a boat in the Arkansas River and you saw. This is a guy that's. I moved around. I lived in a lot of different places. I got a lot of different. He's not just from. And you saw a penguin out there today. I saw a penguin, boss. It's a guy.
I had a guy last night tell us we pronounce our show wrong.
Nateland?
They said it should be Nateland.
Nateland?
That's how I would say it if it were a town.
The Nateland.
You know?
And I said, no, Nateland. It's Nateland. They're like, no, it's island. It's not island.
Island.
Or inland.
Nateland. Nateland wow. Podcast. The Nateland Podcast. The Nate Land.
How do you say Cleveland? Do you say Cleveland or Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Yeah. Nate Land. So I think that's maybe what he was Nate thinking Land. Of.
Yeah.
We went to the Nashville Zoo once, and there's a bird exhibit that you go in, and they land on you, and they tell you, you know, the birds will come land on you. And it was with Brad Hinterleiter, and one of them started pecking on his neck, and it started – no, his ear. Yeah. And it started bleeding. And it bled the rest of the time.
Wow.
He had to go to like the, what is it, infirmary?
Yeah, I was going to say infirmary. Yeah, the medical tent. The vet.
No. Like all we got is a bird vet. And she goes, let me take a look. You went to see where you get your ears pierced.
Yeah, that's what it
and
looked like.
They go in and they're like, I'm not kind of, you know, I basically do it. The best zoos I've been to. I've been to a few of these. One zoo that we have in here is the Tisch Family Zoological Gardens in Jerusalem, also known as Jerusalem Biblical Zoo. Highlights a collection of animals featured in the Bible, which the Ark was all of them, right? So there'll be every. Yeah, so they're like, we're basically a normal zoo.
Yeah, I was like, what is in the. What was animals are in the Bible, but not in the.
These are the animals that were in the Bible. You're like, oh, is it different? You're like, no, I mean, basically the Ark had all the animals, so it's a regular, you know, and you're like, okay. San Diego Zoo, I've been to a few times, known around the world for pioneering the concept of cageless open air exhibits that help recreate the animal's natural habitat besides the train going around. besides that, I like that it's like maybe these animals don't know. They're like, I don't know, man. It feels very normal to me. Looks like the neighborhood I grew up in. The GW Zoo in Wynnewood, Oklahoma is the zoo that's featured in the Netflix documentary Tiger King. The zoo is renamed Tiger King Park in May of 2020. It's kind of it was a wild one. The best zoo, the wild documentary, I know that's we're going to dive into all that. It's been talked about. The best zoo I've been to was in Singapore. Singapore Zoo, I was there with it was me and my wife and Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi. That's awesome. Tedeschi Trucks band. And I remember talking. So at that point, we hung out with Derek. I didn't really know. I met him. It was kind of like a corporate event kind of thing that we were doing. And this private kind of gig. And so then we would go do all this stuff. This was the Paul Allen cruise I was talking about. I've already mentioned it. Yeah. I always try to avoid it. Like, it's, we're going to have to dive into that. But the Paul Allen cruise, we go to Singapore and we get a stay. We went to the hotel in Singapore. We didn't stay there, but because we were only there, I think we might have been flying out or something. And we're at the zoo and they had the pool at the very top. And so it'd be on the top of the rooftop and you just look all over Singapore. Singapore is super clean. And we went to the zoo. The zoo was unreal. We didn't even get to go to all of it because we only had a few hours. Like that, we had that day and some of the night. So we went to this one part of the zoo, and I mean, they have polar bears. It's just unreal. But then they had a night zoo, and that's the coolest zoo I've ever been to. And I wish there was places like that here. It was just, I mean, it everything's at night. Animals are super active at night. You can either go walk around on your own, or you can take a train ride through that part of the zoo. And we walked around on our own. And I mean, dude, you'd go to the tiger exhibit and that tiger is pacing and he's looking. I mean, we go and stood at one point And we look at the cage, and the tiger is just pacing back and forth, looking at you through the glass.
Yeah.
Because this tiger is super, like, what's going on? And then there's a part we could stand, and you could almost put your head up and kind of see it without. And, I mean, that tiger just saw us and then growled and just, like, came at us. Oh, and you couldn't see it. I mean, it was the scariest. Just because of it being dark.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know where any... I mean, everything's... I mean, dude, everything's so active at night. Every animal... Lions are roaring. Like, it was a wild, wild place. I mean, such a cool idea. And I wish they would... I wish there was something like that here. It's such a good idea that, you know, they should have that in Nashville. I don't know. Or in America.
Did you like freak out with the tiger?
Yeah.
Did you scream?
Yeah. Cause it was, you just kind of jumped down off the thing. I mean, not that we were climbing the fence, but you could stand on, so the fence like went up this high and you could stand on a thing. And you could kind of just keep your head right above it.
Yeah.
And then you're just like looking,
like Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you look like Wilson, like, hey. And then he's just going. The funny thing with Derek is we were talking. So Derek, if you don't know about Derek Trucks is, he's already looked at as one of the greatest guitarists ever. And he's basically my age, maybe a year younger. He's from Jacksonville. And he was in the Allman Brothers at 13.
Yeah.
And so he, because his family, his uncle, I think Butch was in the Allman Brothers. And then he played with Eric Clapton forever. And I mean, so he's like a once in a lifetime. He's a prodigy. He's like a child prodigy.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking, before I'm like really realizing all this stuff as we're doing stuff, before I'm like realizing exactly who he is, me and him were just getting along because he was from Jacksonville and me Nashville. So we talked about Jags Titans.
Yeah.
We're in Singapore. Talking about the Jags versus Titans. There's not many people in either of those states talking about that. And we're over there like, yeah, we got a good team. And like Jacksonville's rebuilding right now. Like, you know. And he has season tickets to the Jaguars and just is an enormous fan. But I remember talking to him about stuff. Before I realized it, I was like, yeah. He's like talking about like, yeah, we just about the grind of everything that they do, touring. And I'm like, yeah, I hear it. You know, I'm talking about the grind of comedy and stuff. Like, almost like we're equals. And then I go look, and he's a child prodigy. And I mean, I felt like a moron. I went, and I mean, I was like, I don't know what I'm even doing, man. Like, so you're like, it's a different thing, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, the expectations he has got. I mean, he's 13 in the Allman Brothers. He's a once in a lifetime type of person.
That's one of my favorite videos. Is him, John Mayer, and B.B. King, and Derek Trucks plays a solo, and B.B. King says, that's the best I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which is like, I mean,
yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah. He's better than anybody, and truly unbelievable, and yeah, great, great, both of them, great, great people. All right. So, talking about zoos, crazy animals at zoos. I'm trying to think if I saw anything crazy animals at zoo. I mean, did you think there's any point do we see a Bigfoot in a zoo?
Well, that's just jumped right to that, huh?
Well, get into it. There's no way around it.
If we find a Bigfoot, I mean, it's an intelligent creature. Do we cage it up in a zoo?
The penguin, as also goes, I got a Bigfoot. You won't get it. You want a Sasquatch?
$60.
You want a Sasquatch? How much for a Sasquatch? $140. How much do you think they would sell a Sasquatch for?
An actual Sasquatch?
But you think the same guy that's selling these penguins, you think he knows to charge?
I think he would know to charge a lot for
I bet he does like $5,000. And you're I mean,
we're rich.
Someone's like, dude, you could be getting $1 million.
Because it's illegal. He's got to sell it for less,
but you still could get it more than that.
Is it illegal though? I mean, it's not a species that's regulated by the, you know, it's not an endangered species or anything. Like you can rehome a dog.
Yeah, he's not gonna take it to Sotheby's.
You can like rehome, like sell a dog.
Rehome?
That's what they say now. That's the euphemism they use
for selling dogs.
Yeah, if you look up dogs on like Craigslist, they'll be like $100 rehoming fee. That's what they call it.
What?
Yeah, it's because you don't want to say,
I'm selling my dog
for $200. Just say, I'll give you my dog, and there's a $200 rehoming fee.
That's insane.
Yeah, so if we want to rehome Sasquatch.
That's insane that they're saying that. That's just say you're selling the dog. That's what you're doing.
I know, but that seems so insensitive and cruel.
Yeah, yeah. This is how you get down a path, though, where you start changing the name of something.
Yeah.
And then you end up having a cuter name for a horrific act.
Exactly.
And you end up being okay with it.
Yeah.
And so instead of saying, if you're selling a dog, if you have some guilt about it, you're like, I'm not just selling this dog I don't care about or whatever. But you say rehoming, you're like, okay, well, that makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. And this how this tricks down into, you're just killing dogs. And you're like,
we're not euthanizing it. We're reliving it. Yeah.
Early exiting our dog. And everybody's like, yeah, no, that makes sense. And this dog is getting shot in the head in a garage because everybody didn't want to say I'm selling my dog. I honestly think this is how stuff plows ahead.
Slippery slope.
And I know everybody's like, it's just a word, but it trains you into going in 15 years from now. I don't know. We sang him a night song. We said our dog had 10 puppies, and then we sang two of them night songs. Like, well, that's, and then the kid's like, what is that? They suffocated those puppies.
What makes you think they're going to kill them once they get them?
What? I'm saying that, I'm just using an example as an extreme example.
You say that was what it,
that's rehoming
it would lead to this.
Is that's insane to not say I'm selling a dog.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make yourself better. So rehoming sounds better. Mm-hmm. And then rehoming, I mean, then everybody's like, oh, I'll rehome my dog. That word doesn't make you feel bad. If you just didn't want your dog, you say I'm rehoming it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, so now you're getting, if the problem can't be the word is what's making you, what's bad. Mm-hmm. Can't be. Mm-hmm. It's impossible for a word to be bad. To be like that bad. The act is what's bad. So you're changing the name of the act, but you're still doing the act. The act is the problem. I'm not even saying selling dogs is the problem.
That's what I'm saying. Selling a dog is not. I don't even think it's a bad thing.
I'm not, but there's no reason for saying rehome. You're choosing something. It's the act. The act is the thing that never gets, that, you know, it's the words change. And it's just like you're painting a house, a different horror house, a different color, a haunted house. It's blue now. You're like, oh.
Well, a horror house. That's what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just rambling.
Yeah. I'm glad you cleared that up too.
Yeah. I said horror, then haunted house. I meant haunted house.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to.
No, I'm just making sure you didn't.
Yeah.
Say,
well, I'm just trying to put some comedy in this podcast. So I was kind of flying off the rails. Jesus. I'm sorry, young Nick me apart. I just do a podcast with my wife.
I'm just trying to shut down some of the comments.
Yeah. One of them should be, hey, dude, does Brian and Aaron ever bring the heat? No. Aaron, you've been a wonderful laugher. And that's been helped.
What was it your friend, daughter's friend said?
Yeah.
Carter. She said, why is the guy in the beard never told jokes? That was her comment. And you know what?
That's the nicest way I've been described visually.
Yeah, that's what we say.
You know?
Yeah.
The bearded guy.
Well, that's what we say for fat people now.
Bearded.
We're renaming it to go, God, this bearded guy.
Renaming.
Rehome.
Yeah.
Doesn't fix the problem. He's still large. He knows it. It's still uncomfortable. The man, don't get near him. He doesn't feel space around him that easy. But the bearded guy, that is going to be the new way you can do it. This is 10 largest animals on Earth are all species of whales. I bet you never would have guessed that. Probably would have. I would have.
If you're talking all time, that would have surprised me.
Is this all time?
Well, the blue whale is the largest animal ever.
Yeah.
On Earth. It's on larger, Earth,
yeah,
than, any
larger
known
than
dinosaur.
Any dinosaur. Yeah.
The blue whale's tongue weighs more than an elephant.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, it is interesting to see it's bigger than a dinosaur. Because just to get that context, because you don't ever know what, you know, you think like, I mean, in your head, you think a dinosaur is going to walk and just, you know, I'd love to see a blue whale next to my home. I wish I could whip one down
make
my
that
cul-de-sac
happen.
Just so.
Yeah.
Just so I could get a gauge. Yeah. So when I'm walking around, I know what dinosaurs would knock over. I try to think about that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
You ever walk around and just think, what if Godzilla walked down this street?
Have you seen been How to that dinosaur exhibit that's on the side of the interstate on I-65 North?
Yes. So that's where I used to. My parents are from Louisville, Kentucky. Okay. And we would always meet at that exit.
Okay.
My whole life.
I stopped there once.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Is it? I honestly don't know if I've been to the dinosaur thing, though.
They're
see,
so
see
big. I mean, you know on what paper that they're... It's just a bunch of life-size statues of different dinosaurs, and you walk through the woods, and they're out there. And just, you know, you get an appreciation for how huge these things were.
And their actual size of it.
Yeah.
So the ones next to the interstate are the real sizes of it. You mm-hmm. see it.
But most of them are tucked away in the woods. You can't yeah. see them.
I mean, it's not like a dinosaur if it went walking down... an interstate would just smash the bridge above it, you know, like the bypass.
No, but they'd smash the cars if they stepped on it.
Yeah, they would smash the cars. But yeah. I'm saying in your head, visually, you could think like, dude, are they going to, would they just, like, how big can they possibly, you know, be? But you can see them being like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is a good thing to go see that. Go see that, guys. You're driving down 65 south or north.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right in between, right before you get to Elizabethtown. We used to be a dry county. I don't think it is now. I went in there once. We're delivering in Elizabethtown, and I go to this bar, O'Charlie's, and there's a bar. Just go sit up at the bar, and I think we tried to ask for a beer, and they said it's a dry county. It was a full bar, taps. They had liquor bottles, and you're like, well, what's all this? It's like, it's all non-alcoholic. It's just nothing.
Wow. Just and like O'Doul's on tap
yeah,
and stuff like that?
Yeah, so it was like a real bar.
And that's how you pronounce it, Elizabethtown?
Yeah.
I never knew it. I never knew it was that or Elizabethan.
I got stranded there
you
for
know
2 days.
It's Elizabethtown?
They all call it E-Town.
E-Town
is how they all call it, just to avoid
it's
that.
Spelled Elizabeth, right?
But their town's called Elizabethan, right?
It's spelled like Elizabethtown, but yeah, I thought it might be something like that. What? Elizabethan.
There's a, I know the one in Tennessee, that's how you pronounce it.
How do you pronounce it?
Elizabethan.
Elizabethan?
Yeah.
Well, they're just being a nightmare. That town is a wreck. That's infuriating. There's no way. Elizabethan? You're like, get out of here, man. No one's saying it like that. That's someone saying to you, like, come on.
Yeah, work with me, dear.
Yeah. I mean, who are we kidding? It's spelled like Elizabethtown?
Yeah, I think so.
That's insane. There's no reason for that.
I think so.
Elizabethan, you're ridiculous. We wrote the Seinfeld thing. That is the funniest marine biologist Seinfeld episode when he says, the blue whale, you know, it's the largest mammal on Earth, but as George says, they don't have to be. He's looking at trying to make the whales lose weight. The African elephant is the largest land animal. The cheetah is the fastest land animal largest land animal. Then the cheetah is the fastest land animal at 70 miles per hour. This podcast seems like it's for my daughter. This is like stuff she was in. Like, yeah, just get into facts of just.
Yeah, I'm interested.
And,
Elizabethan spelled differently.
Okay.
And there we go. Where?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, where's your source?
There's a That's W. Perfect. There's a W missing. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. A W?
Instead of town, it's...
For the listeners, it's spelled E-L-I-Z-A-B-E-T-H.
Well, the W is everything.
T-O-N.
So, but you would call that Elizabeth Ton.
No, I wouldn't. Elizabeth...
But it's spelled the same.
How much
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth weighed a ton. No, Elizabeth Ton. No, I would say that. There's not a W. You read it wrong.
You would say Elizabethan?
No, I would say Elizabeth Ton. Elizabeth,
well, that'd be
Elizabeth.
Wrong.
That's not how you. Yeah.
Whatever. I would say it more closer to what you said.
Okay.
I'm not doing anything wrong. I said Elizabethtown and spelled it. You said it spelled like Elizabethtown.
Right.
And you're like, what's the big deal, dude? They forgot the W. Well, that's the most gigantic part of the spelling, is not having the W.
But Elizabeth is spelled the same, but it's pronounced differently.
I know, because it's T-O-N at the end. I wouldn't pronounce T-O-N and T-O-W-N the same.
But you would spell, you pronounce Elizabeth differently, even though it's spelled the same.
Elizabeth Town, Elizabeth Ton, right?
No.
How do you say it?
Elizabethton.
Elizabethton. Elizabethton.
Yeah.
I can get that at least because that W's not there. If it was
right.
Town,
you're less
Elizabeth
angry.
Tennant.
You're less angry about it now.
That's already different.
Okay.
That's already a because you were, one it's one word.
You're E-O-I. Pretty riled up.
He's or, clearly less angry now.
I know, but you're I know because you're
now act, it's you.
You're acting like, well, so they forgot the W. Like you're acting like that's not a big deal. Like it's like same thing, dude. They forgot the W. Not a big deal. Falcon. It's faking. Well, I forgot the L, dude. Why are you being weird about you pronounce it the same way?
We so. Covered that.
Fake.
You didn't know how to pronounce that.
Huh? You said, is it spelled? I mean, I could say you thought Elizabethtown. You're like, oh, is it pronounced Elizabethton?
Yeah.
That's wrong.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
And if you thought it was crazy, then Aaron pointed out that it's called E-Town because people don't know.
Because it's spelled Elizabethtown.
Right.
Which is the gigantic thing in that is T-O-W-N. A W is a big deal. So I apologize for getting mad at their town. I think they pronounce it the way they want to pronounce it.
How do they pronounce it?
Elizabethan. Elizabethan. No. What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
What one. Is it? Elizabethan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I get it. All right.
Okay.
The Peregrine Falcon is the fastest driver. I don't even care at this point. I'm just trying to get through this. The Peregrine Falcon is the fastest bird to speeds of
that's 240
pretty crazy, miles per
right? 240?
Oh, wow. So nuts.
That bananas. Is
so crazy. How fast do you get through Elizabethton? How long would it take him to drive through? What do we use some weird animal facts? A squirrel can survive a fall at its terminal velocity. In other words, you could throw a squirrel out of an airplane, it will land perfectly fine on the ground.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's, I don't know how much that's.
What do you mean?
That's from Aaron.
There's zero chance that's true.
It's, you know, everything has a terminal velocity. A squirrel is designed such that it can survive a fall at its terminal velocity.
I'm not even positive with terminal velocity.
I didn't even know what that
meant. I don't think.
So when something's falling.
Yeah.
It's everything eventually is going to reach a certain speed and not get any faster because the speed at which it's and the drag moving up are going to, you know, competing forces. A squirrel's terminal velocity, which I don't know off the top of my head, but it's he can survive a fall at that speed. So theoretically, I don't know if it's been done.
How did they figure that out?
Check Aaron's sources. Look something up. I want to see Aaron's sources.
Theoretically, you could be on an airplane and throw a squirrel out the window, and it'll land perfectly fine on its feet.
Theoretically.
I mean, I don't know if it'll land on its feet, but it'll
be. Theoretically is a little different than in other words. I mean, that's way different. Theoretically. Hey. Just saying, theoretically.
No,
just
they slow it down.
What do you mean?
It says squirrels, the only mammal that can slow.
No, see, 14 meters per second, that's the terminal velocity of a squirrel. So no matter what height you drop a squirrel at, that's the speed it's going to get.
No,
I mean, that's the max speed.
But below it says they can slow down their terminal velocity to survive the fall. They can do it slowly enough to survive.
Like they could almost spread themselves out. How long does it take for a squirrel to... No, not starve to death.
Squirrels die from falling? Look at that. Squirrels can survive impacts at their terminal velocity, which means no matter what height you drop a squirrel from, it'll probably survive. Wow. Now, they put probably there
because... Do from an airplane.
Well, it just says no matter what height.
I want to see the word airplane.
Oh, put, you
can
type that in?
Put can a squirrel...
That was my editorialization. I'll admit
in other words.
Yeah.
Theoretically, or in other words, those are two big different...
This is what we were talking about...
basically.
Previous episodes, just about, you know, I would love for somebody to test this.
Well, if the squirrel can survive.
It's right. I mean, if you really believe this as a scientist, let's put it, let's toss it out
how
the window.
How high of a fall can a squirrel survive? 100 feet. Squirrel's tail can also serve as a parachute these falls. They can fall up to 100 feet. But how is 100 feet? I mean, how tall is a building? They're saying tall building.
Yeah, 100 feet's not really.
100 feet's not that tall.
You know, a 9 or 10 story building.
Yeah. Oh, that's a pretty tall building.
Yeah.
What is it, 10 feet?
Well, it's much, that's much shorter than a plane, than a plane flies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could, now what plane are you flying? Because, well, I'm not saying American Airlines. I'm saying, I'm saying your buddy's got a plane. He takes it up. I'm saying Charles Lindbergh. I'm talking a little, I'm talking about the Wright brothers plane.
Is that not an impressive fact, though? I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah, I didn't even know what terminal velocity was.
Give it up for squirrels.
Give it up. I mean, yeah, it's the airplane, you know. You went for it.
And, it's 100 feet, but airplane sounds better.
I mean, a tall building would have been an airplane. I'm flying on Delta across the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, what I said was not inaccurate, though. You could. It doesn't matter. That's the whole point, is it doesn't matter.
It's not accurate, but if you sit in front of a squirrel would go, well, that's all right. He's being a little kind of crazy. Don't throw me out of a plane, please. That's what the squirrel would come in and go, all right, no, Aaron, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Aaron's kind of right. We're pretty awesome, but like, let's not get crazy. Aaron gets a little excited and wants to throw me out of an airplane. If you had a squirrel buddy that you're trying to get thrown, you're like, just do it, man. Like, your roommate's with a squirrel, and you're like, why don't you ever just do it? You know?
Is it like swimming where you just throw the kid in the pool to teach him? The squirrel buddy just shoves him out?
I don't, well, see, nobody has the guts to do this.
You go, you show up with Bermuda tickets to your, with your squirrel. Hey, buddy, you got a little trip we're taking. Oh, that's fun. Some squid have donut-shaped brains, and their throats pass through it. So if they eat something too big, they can get brain damage. Wow. That's interesting. That's
another Aaron weapon.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
All these are.
These are mine. I'm the source here.
Yeah, I would love it if you just, these were just completely made up and Aaron. That's, all right. They have their throats pass through it. So they eat something too big, they get brain damage. I mean, can you, how stupid do you have to be? That's what they say. He's like, what do you thought you could eat the blue whale? And you're stupid. You can't wrap your brain around how much food that is. And literally, that's a real saying. The squid cannot.
That's where the saying comes from.
That's where the saying comes from.
That's right.
Can you not wrap your head around how big a horse is? You can't wrap your brain around it? You're like, no, you physically can't because it's bigger than your throat. Octopus can escape from a jar by unscrewing.
Yeah, we got video of this.
I don't believe it. Oh, man.
So they, yeah. They
put, well, what's your source?
They put this, the source is, a video of it. It unscrews the lid with its tentacles and escapes a jar. I don't like this. I don't like what it means.
You know, the crazy thing is, I've seen this video. He doesn't even escape, get out when he takes it off. He just hangs out there. I still don't think he can get out.
Well, he knows what he's doing. That's, I mean, that's the creepy part of this.
What moves, and then, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got to get.
No, he's struggling.
Getting him in the, it was like a 40-minute video. I mean.
Oh,
there it goes.
Yeah, gets look. Out.
Yeah, he made it out. Wow, he gets out.
No, he doesn't. He just.
You're like, so unimpressed with this.
No, it's
Aaron.
I mean,
these facts are terrible.
It's great. No, they can get it. Yeah, I mean, I would. They have suction cups. I would think that they could do it.
But the idea is that they're smart enough to understand how a lid of a jar works.
I think you just start trying stuff out. You ever not touch something that you maybe don't know how it works? You're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, but we're human beings. I tell you about, you put most animals in a jar and they're not going to be able to get out.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that's true. I mean, I'm thinking of it like that. I like the idea of that, that if you have most animals, you could be like, yeah, well, you think you could get in a jar and get out? And the animal would be like, no, I don't.
Put a dog in a jar, it's never getting
out. Yeah, and he goes, but I'm too big for a jar. And then he goes, and the octopus is blank. That's his smart point. He goes, oh, you make a strong point, octopus. I'm too big for a jar. And then the octopus.
Make a bigger jar, dude.
Yeah. He goes, well, we can make jars as big as possible.
Bigger pants.
That's a debate between animals. say a dog and an octopus are both running for office.
And what's the argument?
I don't know. Just taking shots. Your person can't. What do they say? You're
kicking out of a jar.
Your guy that you want to elect can't get himself out of a jar. And the dog goes, well, what were you doing in the jar anyway? And then everyone's like, whoa. That's the comeback. He goes, what are the smartest animals in the world? Octopus number 9, just a little heads
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of fell down. So let's go through. All right, so basically, octopus is number 9. Top 8 animals that can get out of jars, apparently, because that's not even on their, they're not even worried about it. Does anybody want to take a guess? A little, at the listeners at home, if you're watching, if you want to take a, what do you think the smartest animal?
I wouldn't have got this.
In the world.
I would have thought number 2 was number 1.
And let me just say, I looked up, every list I saw was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most of them, had number 1 as number 1.
Okay. I will say we eat 4 out of the top 10 smartest animals the world.
Yeah. Let me go through them. Pigeon, squirrel, crow, and elephant, right?
You got 2 of those.
Let me think.
You eat?
Octopus?
Octopus.
Should you just say what the list is? Real quick? Just say
it's number 1. It's the number 1 smartest animal in the world, chimpanzee.
Yeah.
2, dolphin, orangutan, elephant, crow, pig, squirrel, pigeon, octopus, rat.
Yeah. Pig, squirrel, pigeon, and octopus. People eat all 4 of those.
Squirrel, pigeon. No, but what we would have eaten is...
Pig?
A pig and octopus.
Right.
For me,
but people eat squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people eat pigeons.
That sell penguins out of the truck of their car.
Pigeons.
Says, hey guys, what you got there? Kind of beef stick you got.
Isn't that what squab is? You can get squab at like a fancy restaurant. And I think it's baby pigeon.
I've never heard that.
How is
how's gorilla not on this?
It's better not knowing that.
The gorillas?
Don't you think gorillas?
I would have thought a bunch of apes would be on here.
What if the gorilla doesn't want to be on it? I would think if you're the smartest animal in the world, you're so smart that you go, I don't need to be listed. You know,
I don't want to be on your dumb list.
You don't want to be.
They dumb it down for their own safety. Like they,
I'll eat this cardboard box and I won't get in top 10.
Did you go look at the penguins? And you're like, I didn't know there was penguins here. And then you go, and the penguins are in the trees because they don't know what penguins do. They go, it's a bird. I put it up in the tree. Can't come down. Stupid bird can't fly. Now this penguin can't get off the ground. Scared of heights. Can you believe it? That's what they do. Chimpanzee. Do they have better short-term memory than humans? You said this was a fun video.
Yeah, this is a...
they have less to
how
remember.
How long are these videos?
That's for sure.
We don't have to play the whole thing.
It's a 13-minute
video. Just play what you want. But look how quickly they put
that's
it up there.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Then he gets a peanut. I mean, they put it up there for a
so
split
second.
So it's
a chimp with a touch screen, and they're putting up all these little squares, and the chimp is...
1 through 9. And
the
they
chimp,
put,
wow.
They put it up for a second, and
yes.
then they go
and
away.
And he touches the squares.
Yes.
I mean... So it would be like, it say it's a TV screen with a bunch of squares.
Yep.
And then... Yeah,
I almost remembers. Don't believe this is real.
The thing that's the craziest is how much a couple times he doesn't even really look like he's watching.
Where's the humans trying to do it?
You know,
so she didn't get it.
Yeah,
I mean the fact
well,
that
I'd like to see her face. What if you just see her, you go? Well, of course she can't get it. You just like that looked like one of our biggest doofuses. She put up, you put her up against that chimpanzee.
Yeah. One of the dumbest people versus one of the smartest chimpanzees.
What I mean, dude, how funny that they go and this human can't get. And they show him, he's like, hurr! He's just sitting there. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. And you're like, are you kidding me? That's what we had to go on against it. He'd be furious.
Yeah.
You're like, put someone else up there that's better, man. Let me feel it. I want to feel that they have a chance. It's crazy that they don't really watch. I would also believe
he's getting fed a peanut every time he gets it right.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So look, he'll reach for the peanut. That's the end of it. But
well, there you go. Did the human have the same incentive?
No, that's the difference.
No, just being, yeah, your incentive is if you can't, then you're dumber. Then we're going to hire this chimpanzee and you are fired. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You ever see Robin Williams make that gorilla laugh? Have you ever seen that?
I've seen a picture of him with a gorilla.
Coco the gorilla.
That did sign language?
Yeah, that did sign language. And Robin Williams like hung out with him and was like killing.
Coco the monkey?
He was like doing comedy to the gorilla.
But how would he get it?
Go.
It was like the most primal form of comedy ever. He was like tickling it and like doing funny facial expressions, and he was just killing. The gorilla was just having a blast.
I would say as a stand-up, that wouldn't make you feel good. I think honestly, if you get out and you're like, that gorilla like got me too much. that couldn't be.
He wasn't doing his act.
Oh, you know? he was doing his full act. No. How funny would that be that you're like, I remember doing a show. I never remember if I've told these stories, but doing that show at a in New Jersey at a firehouse. I've told this fire, and so you do these fire gigs or these firehouse, you know, like, and they'd be like raising money for like a fire company and, you know, for whatever, a fire truck, for a fire truck place, you know, a place where they keep fire trucks. I mean.
A firehouse?
I don't know if I'd beat a chimpanzee. He'd already got through this story.
Well, the gorilla's not even the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, chimpanzee would have already been done with the story. And he's like, and I wasn't even there. Can you believe? my material is below the gorilla. So we do this show and where it's set up. And I used to do this joke about Shakespeare. I forget the joke, but it was just whatever it was. It wasn't anything profound. It was like a dumb Shakespeare joke. And I remember that I get done. I mean, we had to do it in the where they kept the actual. Usually, you would do it in like one of the smaller rooms because it was in like a fire department, and you do it in a smaller room inside. But they didn't. We couldn't for some reason, and so we had to do it in the garage. Well, the garage where they keep the trucks is enormous, and sound just disappears. And so they're setting up all this stuff, and I'm doing it for this guy to look at me and see me, so I can hopefully get some more of these gigs because you know they pay like $200, like, and you just drive to Jersey, and. So I'm doing him, and I go up, I do the Shakespeare joke. I mean, I just bomb. Like, it's terrible. And then the guy that booked it comes over after the Shakespeare, he goes, that Shakespeare joke works in the city? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, all right. And he walked away, never got booked. But then my other buddy that did it with me, that brought me, he would play the trumpet. And so he plays the trumpet, plays funny songs on the trumpet, and of course, and murders. Murders, because that's what you needed to do in that situation. And we're driving back, and I was like, man, you killed, dude. I was like, I don't think that I'll ever get booked there. I was like, they loved you. You did really good. And he's like, I don't think you should be doing good in that room. Like, it was the most honest, real moment to see someone put together that, like, yeah, I don't think that's a good place to be good at. You know, it's being like a carnival bar. You don't want to... You don't make. I'm really good when it's outdoor and it's chaos.
Yeah.
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 That's where I shine. Like that. That's not the place you want to be.
So you'd rather bomb with a gorilla? You'd rather, you know.
No, I mean, it's just you want to have a good funny set, to, you know. It's funny to think. I think it would, you know, if I did bomb, I would go, well, of course.
Yeah. All right.
I'm doing some highbrow stuff over here. I'm not tickling the gorilla. My opening act. I didn't know he was going to do crowd work like that. Hey, man, good set. Would have loved to know you were going to tickle the gorilla. I mean, are you kidding me? I got 30 minutes on bananas.
You kind of stepped on my tickling.
Yeah. How about humans? We open bananas wrong, right? What are the most venomous animals on Earth? I wouldn't have guessed the number one animal.
No.
CNET.com. CNET.com is also where, that sounds like I'm doing an ad, and we're not, but it's also where I go to check phone reviews. Like, it's funny that they do everything.
Uh-huh.
Really? CNET does everything.
They're ranking animals too.
Phone reviews.
Well, if you ever look up a phone, or they do like great
consumer reports.
Consumer, yeah, 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 it's great reviews.
Yeah,
and that's funny too. That they're like, you're like, but you don't do snakes or nothing. They go, what, dude? Are you serious right now? That's actually what got us started.
That's actually our passion.
That's actually our favorite thing.
Phone reviews pays the bills, but we are all about animal reviews.
How high can you drop a phone review? Also, higher than a squirrel can fall? Find out on this next video where we drop a squirrel and the iPhone 11 off a 100-foot building. How tall is a 100-foot building? None of us really knew either.
It's where an airplane flies.
Box jellyfish is the number one most venomous animal on Earth.
You don't think of a jellyfish as being venomous. Like, they have venom. I thought they just sting you.
Where are they? Are they close? Are they, like, way out there?
Thank God, far away.
Let me look up the... Where I've
seen, you know, you always see my dad got bit by what is the Morora or such as an M that's like a jellyfish?
Man of War?
Man of War.
Really?
Man of War. Yep.
Those are the scariest looking things.
Yeah, my dad got bit by got stung by Man of War.
Oh, I gotta go. Like,
when he was I want to say he was in his 20s or something.
Where was he?
You know what? Tennessee. No, I don't know. I was saying somewhere. You know what? The mall is very random. A little surprising, but that's what made him touch it, because he thought, well, it can't be.
You know, when the...
This man of war can't be shopping the same place I'm shopping.
When the flood happened here in Nashville in 2010, Aubrey Mills got flooded, Aubrey Mills Mall, and there was a rumor that piranha got loose from the aquarium and were swimming around in the mall.
So there's still...
Maybe they still are.
It's when you go to that mall and you sit in that movie theater seat and you feel someone behind you going, shh, and you look back. Number two.
Well, there's the box jellyfish, by the way.
Yeah, I don't like
that. Does it say where they're at? That's what I wanted.
What do you mean where they're at?
Are they in the middle of the ocean? Are they the ones that come close to the shore?
Oh.
It is probably the most deadly. It is large in size, yet almost transparent in the water.
Yeah, that's what's
scary. Tentacles can sting you with its millions of Nema something, injecting a hefty amount of venom while holding its victim in place. It holds you. The jellyfish has enough venom to kill 60 adults. And you think that's it? You think it's out then? Or is there saying one sting would kill 60 people?
No, I think that means total.
Is it? Yeah. So it's like...
You think
I
think it has a finite amount of
60
toxins? 60 in one sitting.
Yeah.
You know, give it a night to refresh.
Yeah. It's like, dude, last night was tough. They're doing like virtual learning, you know, at school. And they said, I don't know, I think the Zoom and all the kids are on Zoom and stuff. So some of the kids got kicked off of Zoom. And so I think one of the teachers said, well, you know, I think the internet just gets tired. And I was like, I don't think that's... I mean, she was saying it. I think she was, you know, I mean, you're saying it to kids to do it.
Right.
But there's some logic that she's,
she believes it.
Maybe. Almost like, well, we've been on the internet all day. It's probably a lot for the internet.
It's like,
and it got a little tired. I mean, but maybe she's talking to eight.
She's talking to kids, but also I think beneath that, she doesn't understand how the internet works at all. Which, who does?
Who does anymore? Blue ringed octopus. Man, there's been a lot of words confusing. Elizabethan.
Good that it can cause respiratory failure within 10 minutes and death within 30.
It's the size of a golf ball. I don't like that, dude. I don't like anything in this ocean.
Does it say that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Only the size of a golf ball.
Size of a golf ball, dude. That's so small.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, but that thing's got to be at the bottom, you know. That's got to be, you ain't going to see that snorkeling and you go to Mexico.
So one bite can kill 26 men.
I know, but I don't, and there's no antidote because we don't need one because it's not in the Gulf of Mexico where you're.
It's in the Pacific and the
Indian
Ocean.
What's that, Seinfeld? It made me think of, you know, Oh, there's a lot of, when they're deciding on where to go, they end up, they're going to go to France, and then they say somewhere, he goes, it's, there's a lot of hills there. George says there's a lot
in
of
the finale.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to find where to fly.
And Elaine, goes, like, you're going to walk up these hills. And he goes, if you, you get to the bottom, we'll drive down and pick you up. Like, and they're just making fun of him. That's what I felt like. You're scared of that octopus. Like, it's not like you're gonna go swim in the Gulf of Mexico, dude. You're never gonna go see a real ocean. And you're all right. Jellyfish all up there. Cone snail.
That's everywhere.
All oceans.
Is it really?
Yeah. The box jellyfish is in Australia. Australians wild.
Yeah. Most of these are in Australia.
That's crazy. It's snail may move slowly, but that's precisely whether their venom is extra potent. I mean, they always talk like that's what they got. But it's like, you know, they went and bought stuff. It's like, you're going to move slow. He's like, well, can I have extra venom then? And he goes, okay. And he's like, fine. And he leaves. That's how I think animals get the stuff that they get. Yeah, I'm not that fast. Well, I should deserve more than other snails that can get out of the way. That guy's flying. It's going like slower than, you know, this guy's humming all over the place.
That peregrine falcon is going 240 miles.
They can't
hour.
Even wrap their head around.
Dude.
They, I mean, a snail can't even, mm-hmm. doesn't even understand the logic of how fast 240 miles per hour. he can't even do it. This first, the inland taipan snake is Australia. That was the number two. I mean, that's crazy for that thing to be two. Then the other type of snake, oops. Sea snake. I knew a sea snake was. Boom slang snake, I don't know. And then there are ours, number 21 on the list is Black Widow. That's our first one.
Yeah.
And then Diamondback Rattlesnake is 23. Brown Recluse is 25. And is let me see the boom slang snake. Oh, I loved snakes. We had a snake growing up.
Yeah.
I had a snake we had a red-tailed boa. And my dad, I got it for Christmas when I was 12. And my dad went and bought it. He said he goes in the guy's house and there was just snakes out everywhere. Like a dude that sell snakes. I mean, hanging on the door frames,
crazy.
And just everywhere. And he just had snakes. And my dad had to bring it home, and they had to put it in. He had to put it in his shirt and keep it up against his body because it was cold.
Wow.
Oh, and I thought you were meant to hide it from you so you didn't see it.
No, just because when they drove back, and then they had a aquarium set up where I was hoping. I was like, I think I'm getting a snake, but then they put my brother got a hamster. And so at first they put a hamster in there because to make me think that that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up and it was a snake. And I mean, we used to, it's funny. I don't grab snake. If I see one now, I won't catch it. Back then I was a little more willy nilly. And we would, my dad would put it in the front yard and someone would walk by. He's like, oh man, look at that snake. It's like a 3 foot red tail boa.
Do you remember how he found the guy?
No,
because back then I don't even know. Yeah. I guess you just knew somebody.
Yeah, you would have known someone. I guess that had it. Yeah, I don't remember how.
Someone in the clown community,
Santa. So
they're like, "How are you going to bring it home? Did you bring something to put it? No, well, you're going to have to put it underneath your shirt."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the guy told him like,
"You
got
to tuck in. Yeah. You got to tuck in.
You got to tuck in there. That's another tuck in situation that you get into.
You ever own a snake?"
Yeah, I think I've told you this. My brother had a ball python.
Yeah.
And I had a hamster named Skunky. And one day I came home from school and my mom was like, Skunky died. And I found out like 10 years later that my mom fed Skunky to my brother's snake.
Yeah.
Because she was like, it's nearing the end of its life. Yeah. Save me a trip to the pet store. One.
Yeah.
Yeah. The snake, about a week later, the snake got out of its cage and the family dog ate the snake.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah.
And your dog.
Or the family dog.
Yeah.
So
I know, but so your family's dog.
That's right.
Yeah. So people just say the dog.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't.
But I'll say it was my hamster and my brother's snake.
And everyone's dog.
But everybody owned the dog.
That's true. Well, yeah.
And you lived under a house with all of your family. Y'all didn't live separately? I mean, the way that was just worded was wild, dude. Like, it was, I mean, and then the I mean, Holly that's running in and out, I don't go, oh, here's our family dog that's running. You're like, just so everybody's clear, it's the family, my immediate family dog.
Would you call it my dog, our dog?
Our dog.
The family's
our,
dog?
I would say our dog.
I mean, I'm just a little more formal than you. I like to let people
you
know.
You go, that it's like, that's, and then just so you know, we had two dogs, but the family dog, we had another dog that just ran around. None of us knew really knew. My uncle's dog, but he was there. But the family, family that lived in that home.
Wait, okay, I'll defend this.
But then I'm going like, what's your family that lives in the home? And you're like, my okay, my brother, you with me? Mother? Father?
Look, a snake and a hamster, they can live in a room. They're in a cage in a room.
Yeah.
So if I had a hamster in my bedroom, it would feel dumb to think of it as the family's pet.
I would, yeah.
A dog is all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's like, are the family dog, right? Yeah.
But a hamster and a snake are so unique that you could just say it's, I had a snake. I just told you I had a snake.
That's right.
And I said my brother had a hamster.
But it wasn't my snake.
Same situation.
That's what I'm saying. I had a hamster. My brother had a snake.
Yeah.
That's, we're on the same page.
We're on the same page.
Exactly.
The difference is.
Okay.
That I don't announce. I don't just go, the family dog.
Well, did all your pets eat each other? That's the difference.
Well, y'all were going through some stuff. Maybe
that's right.
Because,
it was a tough time in our family, all right?
I mean,
that was a tough week.
The dog ate it all or just killed it?
Ate it and kind of left. I mean, we guess it got outside. And it, we know it because the dog threw it up everywhere.
Yeah.
So we saw that. Sick. We could saw the snake skin and the throw up. Yeah.
What kind of dog do you have? A tiger?
A beagle.
Oh man. Yeah. We had a
hunting dog.
We had a beagle and it snapped at my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was not the family dog for long.
Did you?
But it snapped. Beagles could be a little snappy.
That's right.
Did you dehome it?
We dehomed it. We shot it in the back of the head. No, we dehomed it. I had an alligator.
What?
Caiman alligator. Is that crocodile? No, Caiman alligator. Me and John Paul, my buddy John Paul, and he, we like when we were, in between, college was done, maybe started working, right before I started comedy, and we'd go to this place in Antioch, like Little Critters maybe or something like that, and you could go in there. I remember going in there once, and there he would sell Caiman alligators in there. Wow. Make sure it's Caiman alligators. I'm pretty sure it is.
I think that might be their own separate species, right?
Yeah, it's Caiman.
Like and the then, islands?
Yeah.
They're just.
Is it Caiman also?
Caiman or Caiman?
Yeah, is related to alligators. All right. Is it a crocodile?
No, I think it's just in the family.
Caiman. So we got a Caiman, and we had it and we put it in our apartment and in an aquarium, and I mean you'd hold it and stuff. It was
you take it out and hold it.
Yeah, you just can never how much you think he will become your buddy, they just don't.
Yeah
that's the hard
they
part.
They can't bond with you like a mammal can.
Yeah.
How did it end?
I think he sold it. I think I might have moved out before, and then I think he just sold it to someone else. Rehomed it. No, it's
you just moved out. Sewers. This is your
with
problem.
Percy
now.
Priest Lake. It should be about 10 feet tall now. All right, we're gonna be wrapping this up. We're trailing off at this point. One of the black bears migrating to Middle Tennessee. That is, they're coming here. They haven't been one here in 100 years. And last year, a black bear was spotted in Jolton.
Well, then one even closer.
Stuff. Today's weather is Nashville, Tennessee's 85 degrees. A black bear was spotted in Jolton County. This is northwest of Davis County. It hasn't been here for 100 years. Oh.
The Jolton was the first signing, and then another one was Hunter's Lane off Dickerson Pike.
I almost went to Hunter's Lane.
10 miles north of Nashville.
That's why we didn't go. Bears were going there. My parents were like, we can't do that. one last, the last, oh, I want to do these last two. if different animals had a one-on-one, let me do this other. Should animals be brought back from extinction? Mm-mm. That's pretty interesting. Scientists are close to bringing back animals from extinction. The woolly mammoth and a passenger pigeon are two of the animals being discussed. What animals would you like to see brought back from extinction? I feel, not to be insulting, that you would be the one that goes, what about a passenger pigeon? Is that insulting to Probably. Say that kind of. If he goes, I could see we're scientists. I like, dude, woolly mammoth. You're like, what about a passenger pigeon? I'm like, and now I have to get like, oh God. And then it's like, does it look any different than a regular pigeon?
Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, you can't bring an animal back from extinction just for someone to go, oh, is that a pigeon? And you're like, no, it's kind of a big deal, man. This pigeon has been around for a thousand. A woolly mammoth.
What?
A woolly?
Yeah.
Is it woolly?
Woolly.
It's woolly.
A woolly mammoth.
A woolly mammoth.
I mean, if anybody ever comments corrections to us, that's kind of crazy that they don't get that we don't know what we're doing. Yeah. Like how much stuff is said wrong.
I know.
They should be like, yeah, dude, that's the thing. They're morons. Penguin. Hi. You think they bring back penguins? Hey, I'd like to bring back a penguin. Well, sir, penguins are around and they're not extinct. I know, but just bring some back so I can say these are brought back from the dead penguins. I'll give you $45 for it.
Like Sling this. Blade?
Yeah.
But, penguin and biscuits.
If I need to get two of these penguins, if I get two penguins, I think my zoo will be all took off. Oh, yeah. Hey, if I get two.
How much you want for them?
I'll tell you.
It was in Arkansas, right?
Arkansas?
Didn't he say that the penguins? The penguins?
Yeah, that was in Arkansas.
Well, Sling Blade was
in Arkansas?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I feel like the guy would think, this guy's an idiot.
No, don't bring any of these animals back. You know, you had your chance.
You don't think so?
You don't want to see a woolly mammoth?
I don't. You know, and we got enough.
What else would be brought? What else?
Dodo birds.
But we're
dodo birds, yeah. Dude. Come on, yeah. That was the best. That's the thing. Yeah. Dude. When did dodo birds? I think I saw some.
The 50s.
Yeah,
I don't think. No. I think they went extinct in the 50s.
No, I think it was early 1900s.
Of a flamingo.
No, I'm pretty positive I have been around some dodo birds. I mean, I tell you what, the name dodo, they didn't stand a chance. Dodo bird, if you're wondering what it looks like just a penguin that's a mess.
It literally
like, I mean, that's just
1690.
I'm pretty sure. That's a ruse. Where's the source on that? Let me see a picture of it.
You saw
one?
You're
like, I'm sure I've seen one. I was like, I'd like dude, they expired one. In the 1950s. No,
let me see a real picture, not just a drawing. a dodo bird, honestly, I was wrong. It looks like,
I think you were thinking about a duck-billed platypus.
A crazy turkey is what it looks like.
Yeah.
It honestly looks like a turkey that just is out there, man. Like that you're... Mm-hmm. Like if you're a regular turkey family walking, you're like, get up, come here. You get your kids closer to you when you see a dodo bird. Where are y'all going? And he doesn't know how to fly with just one wing going. Never figured out to do two. I mean, look, this is old. Dodo bird's been made fun of him for years. Maybe it's like back off. All right. If you told me 90s, I would have easily said 1990s. Yeah. I did see one.
The 50s.
Well.
I thought it was early 1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit farther than you think. All right. Let's do this last run through.
No, it's Tasmanian devil is the one.
Are they extinct?
No.
Are they still alive?
They're still around, right? I think they're kind of a problem over there. Oh, okay. They're like possums.
All right.
Yeah.
They're varmints over there, dude.
Yeah. It's, we're way off. Dodo bird's been gone.
You heard that UFC fighter's name is the Taz Mexican devil?
Oh, yeah.
That's his nickname. But it's Tasmania.
It's the Tasmanian tiger.
Doesn't make any sense.
It went extinct in 1933.
Wow.
But you meant the Tasmanian devil.
I said Tasmanian devil, but I knew it was an animal in Tasmania that died recently.
Tasmanian tiger. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
when did it go out?
I keep these animals. I mean, I get it. Why they?
I think you bring some back. You bring. I mean, what would you want to bring back?
None of them.
Woolly mammoth would be. I mean, that's a big deal. That's what I would.
Where do you put them? You put them in the wild?
Yeah, the article said that it helps the ecosystem because they had a purpose, and they need to bring them back to help the environment.
I mean, we're doing fine now, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you some animals that would not want them back. I just feel like there's some other animals that are going like, oh, look who's back. It's a woolly mammoth comes in with all its hair hanging down.
The penguins of the woolly mammoth.
Elephants are just like, oh, look who's showed up. Hey, where you been? You been lost? He's like, I've been dead. I went extinct. And they're like, we don't even know what that means. He goes, you wouldn't.
You're going to find out.
Yeah.
It was interesting the ways they had for bringing them back. Some of them are DNA stuff. One of them was just breeding two hairy elephants again and again and again.
Oh, and like recreating them that way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, that's a loose. Come on. Come on. Either bring it back or don't. Don't be like, you know, just it's like, well, it's got a lot of hair on it.
So you have the woolly mammoth DNA. What gives birth to it?
I don't know.
You know?
Chicken.
Do you build an artificial womb?
Or the hen. What?
You know?
So the hen has sex with the
That's perverse.
Chicken. Yeah, that's perverse. Something's missing. All right. Let's go through these real fast. All right. We gotta be done. This is too much. This is the episode that never is coming out.
I think it should. It's been fun.
Yeah, well, you would. Taking shots. That was a joke.
I feel like we've had a good time.
I know. That was a good guess. Yeah, well, you would think it was fun. all right. Is that? That's all. I'm done with that joke. keeps pressing the penguin button like we're on radio. No one can even hear that problem. Doing morning radio. Good night. His timing is, I mean, it shows.
I thought that was a little off. I thought it was good.
Thank you, Aaron. Yeah. Thank you.
I'd forgotten about, just what I forget about it.
Thank you. It's perfect timing. There you go. This guy over here.
Like that being said, we're probably done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. One of them was, I'll give you two.
The folks in Elizabethton love it.
So your biggest fan base is population of 1,500, it said. Great white shark versus salt wild crocodile. Let's give you this is like running a rundown of just highlights. All right, last night we saw the great white shark versus saltwater crocodile. Great white shark. Shark was looking for food. Who wasn't? The crocodile bit the tail and then bit off the great white shark's fin and later clamped onto its nose. The crocodile attempted a death row but began to sink too. The saltwater crocodile broke off the attack to get air. Then the shark returned and bit the croc's belly, ending the fight. I don't even come
so
on.
So this is a virtual simulation.
Yeah, this is from the Discovery Channel where they just did this.
The crocodile bit the tail, then bit off the great white's fin. So his tail and fin are gone. But then the shark came back and got him in the belly. And then he needed air. Can they breathe underwater for a long time?
A crocodile could just leave. He could go on land. I mean, is that not a tremendous advantage?
Well, they wanted to fight.
So why do they have to fight in the shark's territory?
Well, because the shark goes, you know where I am. If you want me, you got to know. You know where to find me. I can't go anywhere.
That's where they ran into each other. It just happened.
White rhino. I don't do that. Lion versus tiger. This is the big brawl. This is the one everybody's like, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
The lion tackles the tiger with a surprise charge. Typical lion. Didn't even tell him that he said, I don't want to fight. It was the last thing the tiger heard. And then he comes back and fights him just out of nowhere. Just, do you want to fight? No, I'm good. I can handle not fighting. And then he comes back. The tiger tried to bite the lion's throat, but the lion shook off the attack. The big cat scratched. Neither could lay a blow. The tiger tried to end the fight. But the lion's mane deflects his aim. The lion is more skilled at fighting, and he managed to get a throat bite and killed the tiger. These could all go either way.
They all seem pretty close.
They all seem close. I mean,
that's good seeding.
Hippopotamus versus bull shark. That's kind of interesting. Hippopotamus had a wound, and the smell of the blood attracted the bullshit. I mean, how can you say that they're fighting?
So you're setting when you're up these starting scenarios. Out,
yeah, yeah. You go, all right, hippopotamus, no, hand behind his back, but, yeah, missing but- an eye. His stomach leg were too thick for the bull shark to bite, but the bull shark ripped his tail off and made the hippo angry. The hippopotamus bit down on the bull shark's head. Hippopotamus are wild, man. There, it's it is nuts how much they. It's. I mean, it's just, if you've seen that one, the way it runs in the water.
They kill like, a ton of people.
A ton of a people. Year, huge
yeah.
threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just there. It's funny. It's like, you know, you just hungry, hungry hippo. It's a fun game, and it's just
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
I mean, brutal animal. If I had to be an animal, I almost a hippo is a pretty solid animal to go to.
Wow.
You really have no threat. I mean, yeah. no threat.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can get you. You're stronger than everything. And you're so big, an alligator is not going to come at you.
Elephant.
But I mean, a hippo could, you know, you just never going to be put in a situation where you'll probably have to fight an elephant. But a hippo would, a hippo could, I mean, they just, I don't know, man. It's crazy. They're super mean. Polar bears versus walrus. I'm kind of getting, the polar bear attempts to flee, but the walrus finishes the battle by driving its tusk into the, I mean, so the walrus wins? That's wow. kind of crazy.
Wow.
He tried to bite and scratch. Skin was too thick. Walrus left. The polar bear gets dragged into the water. As the walrus flees, the polar bear gets dragged into the water, and the walrus goes gored the polar bear by sinking its tusk into it. As the walrus flees, the polar bear gets dragged into the water. All right. I mean, these are lion versus Nile crocodile. The crocodile erupted onto his neck. A death roll from the crocodile ended the fight. Good. I mean, I'm just flying through these now. Anaconda versus jaguar. Everybody's wondering. Snake attempts to flee. All these animals flee. None of them just walk away. They flee, but the jaguar fishes the anaconda out of the water. Anaconda then bit the jaguar's skull, wraps around it, killing it this time. So the anaconda seems like it was up, it was winning. It tried to leave. The jaguar wouldn't just let things go. Gorilla versus leopard. Gorilla tries to avoid a fight. Typical gorilla. But the leopard wouldn't back off. The gorilla's going, nah, I don't know. And the leopard's like, what if I'm over here now? Do you remember where I was? And the gorilla's like, yeah, you were just right there. He always remembers where. Yeah, dude, you were there, there, and there. I've been watching you the whole time. Every time you move, I know all your moves. You were in that tree, down to that tree, down to that tree, now down to that tree. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I got a great short-term memory.
That was the chimp.
And he goes, dude, it's a joke. Oh, my God.
I have to handle the comments, so I'm just clarifying, folks. I knew.
No, that's... Oh, man. Fun police showed up. And good night, dude. I mean, that's unbelievable. He's a professional comedian.
I like to...
I mean, that's like honestly getting a fun joke going and then just going, hey, could we get back to the list? I mean, that's like unreal, dude. Unbelievable. Honestly. Who cares now? We had a good thing going as Gorilla.
I like accuracy in my jokes.
I know, but it's...
we got one more. Should be cut. Let's bring off. It home.
American alligator versus American black bear. The alligator bit the bear, leaving a wound once again. However, it only bit fur, fat, and muscle, which I would think are pretty gigantic things to get bit. I mean, that's, it's like, don't worry, just bit through the leg, and he still has another leg. The black bear fought back. The gator tried to do a tail swipe, but the bear dodged it. Running out of energy, the alligator tried to retreat into the water, but the bear stopped it. It rolled over, and the black bear scratched the gator's belly, ending the fight.
Wow.
With just a scratch.
The belly seems to be a real vulnerable spot
for a lot of these animals.
For a lot of these animals.
Yeah.
A lot of these animals. It turns out, belly. If you're ever in one of these fighting with these animals, just go through, just go through the belly, and... You know, and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was the episode where someone dies, someone gets fired, and we need to pop one in there. That's one we will do. It's a pretty good episode, though.
That was fun. That was fun.
It was a fun one. So, all right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Remember, always subscribe, comments. You've all been super nice to us, and we truly appreciate it. None of that's lost on us, and we can't thank you enough. So, see you next time. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Nate Land Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, you know, wherever you listen to your podcast. And please remember to leave us a rating or a comment. Nate Land is produced by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the All Things Comedy Network. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Consulting in partnership with Center Street Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nate Land Podcast.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.